Hello, welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode number 10. I am Manuel Lemos, the host of the podcast. And as always, I have here with me Hernani Joppert. Hello, Hernani. How are you doing?
Hello, Manuel. It's doing great. Working very hard within those past weeks, but very, very happy to be here.
Okay, I'm glad that you are working hard and happy with it. Today in our podcast, we are going to talk about several interesting subjects, starting with the release of PHP 5.3.6. That is mainly a release to fix several important vulnerabilities, basically stuff that affects the security of your PHP sites. And coincidentally or not, there is also the news that a subsite of the PHP.net site, namely the wiki.php.net, was suffered an attack. I'm not sure if the attack itself was related with the vulnerabilities fixed by this release, PHP 5.3.6, because from what I heard, what was vulnerable was the wiki software that was used in the wiki.php.net site, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, is DocuWiki. And anyway, it is always prudent to upgrade your PHP version if you are using the latest version in your servers, to upgrade so you do not suffer from any vulnerabilities that may open holes and opportunities to having your server attacked. But moving on with our podcast, today we are going to talk a bit about an interesting feature that was proposed by Moriyoshi Koizumi from Japan, a core PHP developer, or at least a great contributor, that basically proposed to have PHP being shipped with a sort of a web server integrated in PHP itself, so you can run PHP without having to also run a separate web server program like Apache or IIS or whatever is the web server that you are using. And basically this is meant for use in development environments, so you can have a solution to test your PHP scripts without relying in further components that you need to install on your development machine. Basically, this is a proposal that was posted in the wiki.php.net, but that proposal was submitted before the vulnerability that I mentioned before was discovered. And unfortunately, for now, you cannot see the proposal, but I'll leave a link to it in the show notes in case the wiki site comes back. And you can check what it is proposing, what is the idea. I wanted to invite Moriyoshi to this podcast so he can talk a bit about his idea. Unfortunately, as we all know, this tsunami problem that happened in Japan has left many people probably without a chance to do much other than taking care of what is happening in their regions. I contacted Moriyoshi. He told me he's okay, his family is fine, But unfortunately, he could not make to the podcast. Anyway, we are going to discuss a bit further about this topic. I tried to research a bit more about the work of Moriyoshi. Actually, I found some interesting videos about his presentations. Some of them in Japanese. And by the way, Hernani, do you have any idea how do you say PHP in Japanese?
I would have to use Google Voice Translator to basically try to get something similar, but I don't know. I really don't.
Actually, it is curious because I try to trying to find the work of Moriyoshi, I found some video presentations, and it turns out that they say PHP in Japanese, exactly PHP, probably with a little Japanese accent. So,
I see.
It's not different from what you could imagine, because, for instance, here in Brazil and in Portugal, we say PHP, say PHP, because that's the way that you spell the letters PHP. But in Japan, they probably due to the fact that they use a different character set, they just spell our alphabet letters just like you do it in English. And anyway, this was just a curiosity. But moving on back to this idea of having a web server shipped with PHP, I also found another article that was syndicated by the Planet PHP by Alexei Zaklestin. I hope I'm spelling his name right. And he published an interesting article in his blog about this proposal by Moriyoshi. And he tells that Moriyoshi's proposal is basically to provide a basic web server just for development purposes, like I mentioned before. So it is not really meant for production environments. But he also comments that he's developing a more robust solution for an eventual PHP application server that he named AIP, and it's basically a application server dedicated to run PHP applications. Similar to others that exist for the Ruby language, like REC or WSGI for Python. And AIP, basically what it does, which can actually be very beneficial to PHP applications, is to provide means to preload some classes or establish database connections or pre-warm data in caches. So every time you run the same script, you already have that data preloaded in a way that it will eventually avoid the usual PHP script initialization overhead. Actually, I also tried to contact Alexei, but for some reason I did not get an answer. Maybe my email did not reach to him. Maybe if he's interested, he can come up in a future show to talk about this project, because I think it is very, very interesting. Hernani, what is your experience with application servers? I know that you are probably more experienced with Java. What do you think about this idea of moving on to a different level of maturity in terms of implementing PHP application servers? Do you think PHP could reach an interesting level, just like we can find using a regular Java environment?
Yes, given the latest object model change on PHP 5 and the benefit of object-oriented language programming and the benefit of performing the PHP performance, it would be a very, very nice feature to see happening, because on most Java-based application servers, they have to allocate some memory, and the Java VM sometimes require several lots of RAM in order to be up and running. And by having a application server in PHP, which doesn't rely on a resident VM, as far as I know, the garbage collection in PHP is way different than in Java is done. It would be a very, very nice competition between the two worlds. Given the situation that lots of companies adopt some sort of model, enterprise tier model with N tier, where you have your database tier, you have your application server tier, you have your LDAP directory server, or your database cluster, or network appliances, or anything else, or any other tiers on your application. Having a application server handling most of those communications would be very, very nice to see in PHP, and I would be really looking forward to see it working.
Right. Well, I'm not so familiar with the Java world, but one thing that I think it would be interesting to have in an eventual application server for PHP would be, other than these features of preloading data and initialization structures that cause repetitive overhead in the execution of PHP scripts. One thing that I think it would be interesting is the have a way to execute tasks regularly, just like the cron tool, a task scheduler similarly to cron, but without relying on cron, because cron is usually something specific to Linux or other Unix based systems. And it's not so well integrated with PHP. You eventually have to have a PHP CLI program available in your environment to run your regular tasks that need to be executed by PHP scripts. And that would be one interesting feature that I would like to see in eventual PHP application servers. Hernani, from your experience, I know that you develop both in PHP and Java. What do you think would be interesting features from the Java application servers that you would like to see in an eventual PHP application server?
Yes, most of the application servers that works in Java, they follow the J2EE standard, which is a set of standardizations for web communication, which in Java you can translate as servlets and JSP. And you have other standards for the J2EE model. But they are quite tied to the Java world, so I feel a little bit afraid to tell it would be a copy of the whole model. But having just features like database connection pooling or standardization of authentication mechanisms by passing through the application server. So let's say exchanging keys between web server A or a web server B, or a web application through a client-side application, and all that talking in PHP or via web services or anything else. But the key aspect would be the ability to write those plugins or that interface would be friendly for the user to set up, and the whole application server would serve requests between a client server application and trying to contact a web service relying on that specific application server. Or there is a connection pooling interface which connects to, let's say, a MySQL cluster of databases. And the application server would pull those connections between your application, your web application, and your database. So it would handle more requests. So then you can scale up your architecture by having multiple machines doing multiple tasks at the same time. So that's all. That's one of the key aspects of the idea of having an application server in PHP.
Right. Well, we'll have to see. I'm not sure if how far these projects, both the integrated web server and this other application, PHP application server by Alexei, how far they will go. I'm not sure if there are other people involved, if this is a project that will be carried on. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully it will turn out to be a good thing that demonstrates maturity of the PHP, and it will help PHP to be taken even more seriously in the enterprise world. But moving on with our podcast, now I just like to comment one thing that is not exactly related with PHP, although it involved people from the PHP world. Namely, I'm talking about a post submitted by Chris Shiflett in his blog that is somehow calling for a revival of the blogger environment, in this case regarding the PHP world. I think the idea is to bring back people to blog more about PHP and other interesting subjects, because nowadays, since the introduction of Twitter, every time somebody has some thought to express, it's faster, and probably it will reach a broader audience more quickly using Twitter than an eventual blog post. But his proposal is to try to revive the blogger scene, in this case around the PHP community, because certain things, certain thoughts need more than 140 characters to be expressed, and the blog format is probably more adequate than just using Twitter. And so several people that have their own blogs around PHP have followed the suggestion to post more interesting articles about PHP. It was interesting to see great adherence to this initiative. If you follow the Planet PHP aggregation of blogs, you can see that until now there have been many interesting posts around PHP. And I hope this initiative that was called Ideas of March will go past this month, not just do something in March and then the initiatives of posting more about PHP will drop again. And on a related topic to this, of blogging more about PHP, some time ago, the PHP classes site launched a new initiative. It was not really related to its ideas of March initiative, but it somehow goes along those lines. And this idea is to encourage authors of their that have posted PHP classes on the site to blog, post blogs, blog articles about their classes. And there are certain requirements about the what the those posts can be, but if the requirements are satisfied, the site can promote them as featured, and a featured blog post will appear in the main PHP classes site blog, thus giving much more audience than the what a regular post in the blog of each package. As some of you know, the PHP class site provides a blog to each package that is published in the site, but if you just publish there, the site just sends a notification about a new post to the users that have downloaded that package before. And with this featured blog post initiative, the authors of the packages can get a much broader audience to their posts, and they eventually attract more users to their own packages. All they need to do is to post articles that are interesting. And just to give an example, I've just published a couple articles in the latest weeks. One before, it was related with a forms class that I have developed many years ago, and it continues to be developed. And I just put an interesting article about validating form inputs depending on the state of other inputs. I'm not going into much detail about the content of the article. I'll post a link in the show notes of this podcast episode for those that want to know more about this. But the idea here is just to give an idea what qualifies to be a featured article, a featured post, to get this extended audience. And the other article that I've posted more recently is about the several ways on by which you can send email in PHP. And the article basically compares the different ways that you can send messages, and the comparison evaluates the delivery performance. And if you also want to know more, I also will post a link to this article. And the basic idea here is just to encourage authors that have their own packages published in the PHP classes site to also publish interesting articles, and when they publish those articles, flag them as featured, so the articles can be evaluated by a moderator, in this case it will be myself, just to determine if they are interesting to the general audience, even though they can be specific to the features provided by their own packages. So if you have any interesting articles that you would like to post about your packages that you published in the PHP classes site, go ahead and contribute to make the site even more interesting, and hopefully also help to this idea of this initiative, Ideas of March, to have more interesting PHP-related blog posts. But moving on with our podcast, I also like to comment a bit about something related not so much, not just with PHP. It's a project named php.js, which is basically a project that is intended to provide an API that exposes functions in JavaScript that provide the same functionality of the same functions with the same names and the parameters in PHP. Hernani, were you familiar with this, about this php.js? Are you aware of the project?
No, Manuel, I wasn't aware. It makes me it's curious to see that some people really love programming PHP, so they try to avoid going in a different way. It would be nice if I am familiarized with the language and could write anything in PHP and then for some reason get this interpreted resolved in the other process, let's say a browser or a machine translator like Titanium, which translates JavaScript into Objective-C and Java as well. So that is a nice approach. Other than that, I see that it would be a huge file, having the concern about implementing all the functions that you have in right. PHP in JavaScript. It would be a really huge JavaScript file. So I would say the only concern would be to make use of the functions that you really need, not the right. Not the ones that you aren't using. So,
well, basically, the project is to, from what I understood, the functions are provided individually, so there are minimal dependencies on core libraries that implement common functionality shared by different functions. And to talk about this, just recently we recorded a podcast with Brett Zamir, which is one of the main developers. I'm not sure if using the word main would be accurate, but I noticed that he contributed a lot to the project. And I invited him to the Lately in JavaScript podcast that was recorded a few days ago. And by the time that you will be listening to this podcast, you will also be able to listen to that other podcast of the Lately in JavaScript podcast. And we talked with Brett, and he told us about the structure of the project. And from what I understood, apart from this aspect of having a way to use functions of that library independently, so you do not need to load a huge JavaScript file to take advantage of the project, you can just use what you need. And I think probably most developers interested in this project will not use it exactly in their applications. They will probably just go and pick in the source code to learn how certain functionality that they know it is available in PHP, how it would be implemented in JavaScript.
So, oh yeah, that is a really nice thing for education purposes.
Right.
It's really nice.
So it's a different way. You can use it in different ways, and this one would be, I suspect, would be probably the most used way to take advantage of that project. If you want to know more, probably it is better that you go and listen to that Lately in JavaScript podcast. I also post a link in the show notes of this podcast episode, so you can learn more about it. Other than that, if you want to go straight to the project page, the URL, it's phpjs.org. You go ahead and check it. If you didn't know about this project, I'm sure that we will appreciate it. And also, talking about JavaScript and moving on to the a following section of this podcast, now I would like to introduce temporarily a new section, which is to comment about some objects, JavaScript objects that were published JS classes site. Basically, what I think is that nowadays most PHP developers also need to resort to some JavaScript programming here and there. So I thought it probably would be interesting to comment about some of the most interesting objects that were posted there, and also as a side goal of introducing this new section in this podcast would be to also get some interest from the listeners of this podcast to also become contributors of the JS classes site. As you all know, the PHP classes site became reasonably popular thanks to the contributions of thousands of PHP developers. Until now, the site counts over 3,000 contributors, which is quite a lot of people. And hopefully in the future, the JS classes site will get to a similar level, not just in quantity, but also in quality. So if you have interesting JavaScript objects to publish, go ahead and publish them in JS classes site. You also benefit from similar exposure that you get in the PHP classes site. But let's comment a bit about some of the most interesting objects that were published there. Hernani, what interesting objects did you find there from what you've seen?
Yes, I've been looking into the website and giving the latest entries. I would point to one or two, but I could point to even three. The one which I've been looking for in the past and tried to do it on my own because I couldn't find anything before is the marquee display, which scrolls things. Of course, you have the marquee from HTML, the old one, but I'm not even sure if it works right now. So yeah. Having this ticker, it's really useful for some applications.
Right. I think it was a feature just of, was it Netscape or IE? I'm not sure.
I guess it was from Netscape, yeah, in the really early days.
But I don't know if it works at all in the current browsers because it's non-standard. And
right, yeah.
As you pointed out, this is a component that provides similar functionality in PHP, in JavaScript. So you do not need to resort to any proprietary or non-standard markup to...
Oh yeah.
To implement these features, and it's interesting because it's quite configurable. You can define scroll directions, not just horizontally, it can be vertically, and you can also halt the scroll if you drag the mouse over the text. And it's useful to implement tickers, just like you mentioned.
Oh yes, and the other tools that I was looking over, and I said, "Oh, this is very nice." The one is the content slider, which would be really nice to combine with the marquee one, because you could probably make a live slide web application based off on those two libraries, with some creativity, of course. And the other one. I would say the guitar neck, which displays chords of a guitar neck, because this is something I've been learning in my younger ages, and having the chords on the screen would definitely save some time. And given that most of the browsers today are embedded in smartphones, you could have this on your hand, and then you could learn it anywhere you are just by using your phone and without the need of setting up a web application or a custom application to display chords.
Right.
You could basically go to a specific website which displays some musical information of your favorite artist, and then having that component generating the chords for you to learn as
right.
you go dynamically. Let's say you start playing your song through your guitar, and it would then go and popping out the chords as you play, so it could detect that and ensure that this is on the right tone. I mean, it's just ideas that pops up. And this is one of the ideas that I've been having in the past, and having this component in a web application is crucial sometimes.
Right. There are many, many interesting packages here. I probably will mention all of them, but since we do not have much time, I'll just mention a couple of those that I found more interesting. One of them is this JS Get. It is basically an object by Fabian Vogelsteller. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, but it implements an interesting feature that will be helpful for Ajax applications. Because when you have an Ajax application, you can click on links, and the links do not go outside the page. You just change the hash value that is in front of the URL, and this object allows you to monitor the changes in the hash. And since the Ajax applications do not refresh the whole page automatically, you need to listen to changes in the hashes to update the state of the content that appears in the page of the Ajax application. And this object allows you to implement that effort to listen to these pseudo events. Another interesting object besides this one that I mentioned by Fabian from Germany, there is another very interesting and useful object, this time provided by Arthurs Sosins from Latvia. I'm not sure again if I'm pronouncing these names correctly. If I'm not pronouncing them correctly, I hope they can excuse me, as I wouldn't be able to know the proper spelling. But this component by Arthurs basically implements a on-screen keyboard, which is something useful to users that for some reason do not have a keyboard at hand to access to type something in the forms, the inputs that take text. And this is interesting because not only it allows to enter characters of your own character set, but it also supports replacing the key maps, so you can input characters in any idiom. And this is very interesting. There are several other interesting components. I just like to mention several authors that are posting objects in the JS Classes site are also authors that are also posting interesting PHP classes on the phpclasses.org site. It's the case of Archer's that I just mentioned, but certainly of others. And I just like to mention that just to remind what I said before. If you have posted classes in the PHP classes site, it is only natural that you probably have your own JavaScript components that you use, and you can also share them in JS classes site for the benefit of a greater audience. But now, moving on with our podcast, now very close to the end of this episode, I would like to get back to another regular section, now back to the PHP world, which is the latest packages nominated for the Innovation Award. This month we are going to comment on the classes nominated to the January Innovation Award edition that were voted in February, and the winners were announced in March. Hernani, what are the classes that you think would be more worth mentioning this month?
Yes, I would like to pick the class from, let's see if I can spell his name correctly here. It's Artur Granizkis. I don't know if I can say that out loud.
Me neither.
Yeah, so sorry about that. He's from Poland, right? And he did a very, very nice class here, which I've never thought about seeing working in PHP, which is a KOS solution. So you could perhaps throttle your network or throttle some services within your local area network, or probably your website.
Right. This, in this case, is just for throttling the download speed.
Oh, that's very nice. Yes, some users may be leeching files within your website, and you could probably slow them down.
Right. I think that's the main purpose, which to avoid abuses, people eventually, by evaluating users that are downloading multiple files from different IPs. So if they are downloading the files too quickly, they may end up exhausting the bandwidth available to a certain server in PHP. And in this case, this solution is quite clever.
Oh, yeah. So that would be my only vote for this month, because it was the very finest idea, in my opinion.
Right. I also think that is a very interesting, but other than that, I'll like to highlight the CodeGraph class by Colin McKinnon from the UK. And what this class does is to analyze the code, parse it, and to determine the call graph. I mean the way each function of the class is called eventually by other functions of the same or other classes, and it can evaluate that graph and render it using the GraphViz format. For those that are not familiar, the GraphViz is a tool for rendering graphs. You pass it a simple specification of a graph. You can define nodes, can define links between the nodes, and some labels to explain what is each of the nodes and the links. And in this case, Colin used this GraphViz format to generate the output of his class. So GraphViz comes with tools that take that graph description in the GraphViz format, which is basically a text format, and it renders images or other documents in a format that you can use to show all the graph looks like. And this is also a very interesting format, a very interesting class. And this month of January, only had 5 nominees. Sometimes there are almost 3 times more nominees. It was not the case. There are the other classes are also interesting, but since we are getting close to the end of this episode, we do not have much time to comment about it. So to end, I'd just like to thank you, Hernani, again for your participation, and I hope to see you back in the next episode next month. And just another reminder, keep contributing not only to the PHP classes site, but also not only in terms of classes, objects, but also in, posting interesting blog posts about your classes. And also do the same in the JS classes site. I'm sure the many users of both sites will appreciate your contributions. So from my part, that's all for now.
Thank you, Manuel, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be back again next month. And other than what you've said, I wish everybody a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.